Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine. Listening to music is more than an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Anthony, and apparently it's already mid-April, which I call bullshit on because I'm pretty sure it's still March 2019. I sneezed and suddenly we're 4 years into your favorite podcast with over 100 incredible interviews and cocktails to match. Does that mean it's time to put out a coffee table book? Would any of y'all buy it? Let us know in our Instagram DMs, so follow us on the gram. Please, please follow us on the gram. It's so lonely here. Please help us reach 10,000 followers responsibly. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I found someone swapping price tags at Target for a cheap thrill and asked her to co-host a podcast with me, and she is...
Kaylin, your cocktail artist.
And our guest today is the lead singer of a pop-punk band from Houston, Texas. Are you starting to see a pattern with my favorite genres of music? But to call them pop-punk is a bit reductive. They've cited influences ranging from Sum 41, No Doubt, and Taylor Swift, to the Beach Boys, Chance the Rapper, and Tyler, the Creator, and you can hear it all in their polished final product. They got their start in the early 2010s playing local venues throughout Texas, notably opening for our once and forever king, the dearly departed Aaron Carter. They signed to Equal Vision Records in 2015 and scooped up Benji Madden and Joel Madden, that aging emo kids will recognize as the indomitable twins behind Good Charlotte, as their managers. From there, they released one critically lauded album after another, culminating in their debut for Fueled by Ramen, which drops this Friday. They've earned praise from Rolling Stone, MTV, Kerrang, and the alternative press, as well as gracing the spring 2023 cover of The Ladder. And from what we've heard of the new album, it's clear to see why. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Austin Knight of the band Water Parks to the pod.
Do you have sound effects, or is that just going to be me?
I can give you a rap horn.
I don't know if I have. Oh, I've got cheersclink.mp3 on this soundboard.
Oh my gosh.
Cheersclink.mp3.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's just our producer saying cheers.mp3 clink out loud.
I need his full soundboard because I just have the one that's on my phone when he's not here.
Yeah, he's out in the remaining snowpack today. Mm-hmm. We love you, Drew. Don't get stuck and don't get eaten by an abominable snowman.
Dude, speaking of soundboards, that just totally brought me back. Do you remember when, yes, oh, my computer's going to get a virus, but like, I just pulled up the Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard. Did you ever like,
oh my God,
when you were like child, did you like prank call people and try and use it?
Oh,
I don't think that existed when I prank called people as a child.
Oh. Did you prank
call
people?
You're the same age as me though. So I don't.
Well, you should know what I'm talking about. You didn't go to like E-Bomb's World or Funny Junk or anything like that?
I did. I was into Newgrounds a lot. That was my thing. Well, okay. Austin, I'm so glad that you could join us today because I feel like we've been trying to make this happen for like 6 months now.
Oh my God. Well then, yes. I'm very glad to be here. This has been a long time coming. Dude, I just got this fidget spinner. I went on Amazon the other day. I'm sorry. And I bought just like I bought a bunch of stuff I don't need. But this one, it's so heavy. And I was just thinking about fidget spinners.
Thanks, Cohen.
It's pink and gold. It's awesome. I love it.
I've never actually had one. I do have like these little stress things that look like little snap pea pods. You squeeze it and the little pea comes out. Not pea, like urine.
Like the food.
The food. The little beans come out and they've got cute little faces on them. It's very adorable.
Mm. Great. See, I never actually bought one. People would bring them, you know, when it was a thing in like 2017, they'd like bring them to the shows and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised they still exist, honestly.
Now they have those little poppet things.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff like that. But no, I'm psyched because like it's so heavy and it feels nice. You know what I mean? So
like, it's a good quality spinner.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, when you found something good, it's heavy.
You can feel that like gyroscope thing inside of it that kind of moves your hand. That's yeah, that's the good stuff.
Love it. Well, are we ready to?
Oh, yeah, we got to do. We have a show to do. We can talk about fidget spinners in a bit.
Finish spinners later.
And this is kind of a unique episode for us. We haven't done one of these in a while, but it is a dry episode. So I hear we have some.
It's not dry, Anthony. It's very wet.
Well, you know what I mean. We don't have any liquor today, but that means that we have mocktails a-flowing.
Oh, nobody's going to lick me? Damn it.
Okay, but anyway, it's time we broke the ice a little. What has everyone been listening to recently on their Spotify, on their Apple Music? Tell us the kind of music that we should be listening to right now.
Okay, first off, in my room, in my home, even, just not right now because I tried to make this audio better, Keep the Rain sounds or Blizzard sounds playing. Inside, and you always feel like, I don't know, like more homey. Second, like video game soundtracks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a bunch of Spyro and stuff.
Have you listened to M83's album that they did that was kind of like a passion project? Oh, I'm forgetting what it's called.
Was it just video game sounds?
No, they like sampled a lot of video game sounds, and the whole idea behind it was leaning into classic video games and video game sounds. It's DSV2.
Is that the one you didn't like?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. That's the one no one liked, actually.
Stop generalizing.
It was just like, it was a passion project and it wasn't like reminiscent of anything fresh or new. It was just reliving old stuff in a bad way.
There's a chance I would love that.
You might, but it's a really boring album. They just came out with Fantasy, but it's much better.
What's that album called?
The album's called DSV2, like the Roman numerals. I don't actually know Roman numerals, so if you know
I don't
know
remember
it,
if S is a Roman numeral. It's like 500 below 1,000 or something. I'm not gonna figure it out.
Yeah. Anyway, I have been listening to quite a bit because there were a couple of new things that came out this week. So Hoodie Allen.
Like water parks?
Yes. No, honestly, it's kind of funny that you say that because I adore everything you're coming out with, and Self-Sabotage is one of my favorites from your new set of things. And Hoodie Allen just came out with a song called Sabotage.
Oh, nice.
And Hoodie Allen is a good friend of the pod. We love him.
Oh yeah, he zoomed in from a wedding in St. Louis. That was awesome.
Yep. And
if somebody will zoom in from a wedding, that's major commitment to the podcast. We've
had people zoom in from all over the place. It's kind of crazy. From swimming pools to buses to Chinese restaurants.
It was a Thai restaurant.
Yep. All those things.
Dang.
I've also been listening to With All My Heart, Elenium and Jake. Is it?
Yeah, with
Jake?
The V.
With the V.
Jake with the V. He's on the up and up right now.
It's so like, I love you forever. I'm not going to sacrifice what we have. I love you with all my heart, even through all of your bullshit, because everybody has their bullshit. And
wait,
if we
are. Is this what he's saying or what you're saying?
This is what he's saying.
Okay.
I mean,
was
he's
like,
not saying the actual words.
Really
this
like
is. Well, this is just like the idea behind this song is like loving someone with all your heart means that you don't love everything about them, but that you love them so much you're willing to accept those other things.
Yeah.
And I like that. And then Drones by Grandson is fucking tight.
Oh, New Grandson?
New Grandson.
He's a sweet dude.
We saw him at Life is Beautiful.
Yeah, that was one of the better sets that we saw.
Yeah.
He was really good.
We saw a lot of good sets, but that one was tight.
All right. So I guess it's my turn. I've been listening to a couple of things. The first is I discovered Jake Wesley Rogers. Apparently, I'm the last person to come to the Jake Wesley Rogers.
Where have you been, Anthony? Get out of that rock.
Yeah, I'm the last one to come over to the Jake Wesley Rogers show. But if you don't know who he is a queer pop musician from Ozark, Missouri. And the best way to describe him is the epitome of theater kid glam. So think like Elton John, Lady Gaga, and David Bowie wrapped up in like the gayest package you can find. It's, you know, chef's kiss perfect.
Sounds like Scarlet Opera.
Honestly, yes, but more like high drama piano ballads, like anthemic. He's actually on tour with TNT alum Stacey Ryan right now. He's got a few EPs out. I've been listening to Pluto. It's very Rocket Man. Like, even all of the outfits that he's wearing, I'm just like, this must have been what it was like to see Elton John at the Troubadour, like, back in the, what was it, the early 70s or something like that? Like, 50 mm-hmm. years ago. So I would say, if you need something to dance to in your kitchen while no one's watching, like, this is it. So the second thing I've been listening to is something that Kaylin wishes I would stop listening to, which is the Instagram reels of Carter Vale.
Oh my God, make it stop. It's like he'll Carter wake me Vale. Up in the morning and he's like, oh my gosh, listen to this.
Carter Vale is, he's like an indie pop artist. Like, a lot of his released music kind of treads that like mid 2010s, like Coconut Records type of vibe. But on Instagram, it's like he has so many ideas that he can't not release them. And they're like weird little jingles. Like, one of them is, what was the gist of it? It's like, I think we should ban aquariums, not because of any animal rights reason, but because I don't like being eye level with fish. And then he just like starts a guitar riff, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it gets weird. Yep. And it's like every single video, he's kind of singing speak. It's like sing speak.
Yep.
And it's just,
I love it. I really like, want
to
get Carter.
I can listen to 100 Gex easier than I can listen to that.
Oh my God, this is not fair. That is not a fair comparison at all.
No, you're right.
I was telling the team, like, I really want to get Carter Vale on the show. And then I saw one of his reels that was, it was just, let me be on your podcast. And I'm like, this is it.
This is the sign. Is what he literally messaged all of the team of our podcast and was like, this is our sign. We need this guy. Anyway, we have a bar to get into.
Yes,
Anthony,
and we are
stop
very
talking
excited
about
this interview.
Artist.
This interview right here that we've been waiting for, Austin. We've really been waiting for this interview. So let's get into the bar. And Austin, this is your time to shine. Even though we're not drinking alcohol today, we need to show the bouncer your ID because it is an 18 and over club right now. So that's not your actual ID.
It can be anything that you think could give you
what is
access
something,
to this place.
Yeah, what is something that you would like our listeners to know about you in an object?
What about this?
Oh my God, it's a frog. We love it.
It's like a little frog action figure, y'all.
It's beautiful.
Is this Bert?
Bert?
Yes.
Okay, I got more shit.
Wait,
so
did you say that's Bert? No, you don't. You could. Oh, it's only one thing. You just show us one thing and you're in.
What about this frog screams Austin Knight?
Well, I used to have a frog. It sort of looks like the frog I used to have before my parents accidentally cooked it when I was younger.
Oh my God, what?
What?
And I would be reacting more, but like my allergies are kicking. I've been cleaning and like the dust is killing me.
Oh no.
No, it's fine. I'm very strong and brave. Everybody clap.
Oh no, so, I mean, oh no, about the frog. Allergies are just a normal thing.
Yeah, no, you're only supposed to leave the lamp on like a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think my parents forgot.
Oh, no.
And yeah, they cooked him.
I used to remind my ex whose younger brother had a frog that he had a turtle. He had one of those turtles that he like never took care of and everybody else had to take care of it. And he would just leave this fucking light on. And I'm like, dude, it's got to be nighttime for this fucker sometime. Poor froggy.
Is it Alaska or who doesn't get nighttime?
Alaska. Yeah.
Poor people. Sad.
What's it called? No, but we buried him in like the flower bed, you know, except then my parents thought they needed more driveway.
Oh, Jesus.
So they actually put concrete over him so they could park their car easier.
They didn't even excavate the gravesite?
No, he's just dead. Under the Honda.
I suppose if he ever became a vampire, like that's what you're supposed to do is put them under concrete. So
yeah, that
prevents
sense.
Him from coming back.
Maybe they knew something I didn't.
Yeah, maybe. Growing up, I had little tiny underwater frogs, like those little tiny ones that.
Aww.
And then I, no one told me you're not supposed to mix goldfish with other fish.
Did they eat everything?
No, the goldfish just secrete gross and kill everything. It's like toxic.
Should we really be talking about toxic fish paste while we're trying to get into a bar to drink drinks?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to get demonetized.
shoot.
Well, okay, let's head on in. Here we are. Welcome to the Tunes and Tumblr bar. It has, in my humble opinion, the best cocktail menu in LA, but it's best kept secret.
Y'all are taking stuff like this as ID, y'all are going to get shut down so fast.
Honestly, it hasn't happened yet. Just
we had somebody bring chicken nuggets one time.
We keep going back to that one.
I like chicken nuggets and I didn't get any.
And somebody brought like the Advil on their nightstand.
Oh yeah, somebody brought us merch too. That
yeah, merch.
Tight.
More merch.
Yeah, more merch.
More merch.
Yeah,
we got some nice tees.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wear that shirt a lot.
I know. But anyway, the best kept secret of this bar is its extensive and creative list of non-alcoholic drinks. It's the best in the world, honestly. No pressure, Kaylin.
Oh, shit.
But I think we should head to the jukebox and set a mood first. Lily and Eric both called in sick today and then posted to their stories from the same brunch spot, which I'm not suspicious of at all. So I guess it's up to me. Today we are listening to Brainwash, the latest single by the band Water Parks off their album Intellectual Property, which hits streaming this Friday on Fueled by Ramen. And you know, Austin, this song is something that I need right now. I don't do well with the cold, and it has been a wet and chilly winter / spring here in LA, and you could practically feel the sun streaming down when you listen to Brainwashed. It brims with this early 2010s endless summer pop sensibility that recalls like this joy, this anxiety of falling into new love, like those two feelings that happen at once, but it's happening in summer, so you're kind of carefree. Anything could happen. But, you know, that's only one of the stories you have on this album. There's, like, the frantic chaos of Real Super Dark, the radio pop earworm Funeral Gray, and the ripping emo self-loathing of Self-Sabotage, which is also my favorite.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
It's so good.
We both were listening to it a lot yesterday because it really embodies Anthony.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reading me. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more on Friday, and I can't wait for everyone to hear it. It's this album. It's stylistically eclectic, and yet it's thematically cohesive. And I think, like, the best way to describe it is it's a Spotify playlist that someone has labored over for days to perfectly capture a specific feeling and mindset and then painted it candy stripe red.
Hell yeah. I love that. Thank you. That's a great description.
I really like music, and I like writing about music, and that's why we're here. But, Kaylin, that's only half the show. The other half is what we're going to drink. So what do you have to pair today with Intellectual Property?
So what I have for you, I specially made ice cubes with the juice that you would get from the maraschino cherry jar.
Oh!
Plus a little bit of lime juice, and I added a tiny drop of lavender oil just to give it kind of a nice herbal sort of, you know, fresh flavor. And I dropped that into the glass, poured so Martinelli's now does like a blush rosé apple cider, poured that over it. And then I sprinkled some tropical punch Kool-Aid powder.
You went crazy.
This is actually pretty tame. I felt like I didn't do shit. But yeah, there's also like at a minimum of 10 cherries in that ice cube.
Oh my God. This is so funny.
I literally stacked the ice cubes in and then poured the syrup that I made over it. And then I froze it. And so it's a lot of cherries just for you.
You know why this is so funny? Because Kaylin is always trying to scoop up everyone's maraschino cherries when we go out together.
Oh, yeah.
She just wants all of them. And she was finally like, I'm just going to put all the maraschino cherries into my drink.
Oh, damn. That's good. Oh, damn.
Wow. I'm so right now. I mean, thing is, you've got 5 ingredients in your drink. But so that is complex. I think I have that same amount of ingredients next to me, not in my one drink, but it's like, I got my coffee. I had a water that I just put like hydration stuff in that happened to be pink. Mm-hmm. Then I got the cranberry juice and I put in the fresh squeezed grape juice in it. So that's technically 5 ingredients.
Yep. Just pour the coffee
five
in
and
there.
Five. Yeah. Just dump the coffee in on top. Get wild.
Catch me on Citizen in like an hour.
Oh no. Wielding a knife.
Yeah, stop sign.
Wielding a pitchfork in front of the stop sign.
Wielding a drink.
Did you say a gross drink?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, this
is actually really good.
It's really delicious.
Like,
cheers.
The using herbs and using, you know, oils and essences and things like that can give you that sort of different taste than just juice. Because I think what a lot of people think is when there's no alcohol on it, it's going to be boring and it's going to be flavorless and there's going to be no high or low notes. And it's like, no, you can make a cocktail out of literally any edible liquid, and you can combine flavors in a way that creates a special new experience that you're going to enjoy and that provokes conversation anyway.
Damn. And with that, a sip.
Oh, yep. Yes. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Clink.
Clink.
Dot MP3.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I kind of want to look at the big picture here. Something that our copywriter noticed, I'm not going to take credit for this because she is very smart. Something that she noticed and wrote in her notes when we were researching this was that your first four albums in order, you got Double Dare, Entertainment, Fandom, and Greatest Hits. They kind of give this journey of the commodification of a band from like a business perspective. So like you start out and you're having like a great time. And once you get into the industry, you're building a fan base. And then you have like your greatest hits, which is like mandated. And then all of a sudden you're stripped of like once you're stripped of all your work, all that's left to commodify is your intellectual property. Was this at all like part of the plan when you set out to write these albums?
Alphabetical? Yes. That take on the business part of it? No. I mean, it's a cool theory.
Like we're reading in heavy.
Absolutely. No, it's just that Greatest Hits was... Okay, so the idea behind Greatest Hits was that it would be like a Greatest Hits of like an imaginary like discography that we didn't do. You know, normally we stick to one color. It's like, you know, I'll have like the blue or purple or green or whatever. And with this one, it was the first time that it was like a multicolor. You know what I mean? It was the red, blue, and yellow. And I kind of wanted it to feel like, because the songs are so different from each other on that album, I wanted it to be like a greatest hits from a bunch of eras that people never got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And
that's why, yeah, like for the first time, it was like a bunch of different colors instead of just the one. And that's why for like the font, it was like a ton of different, you know what I mean? Like letters. Normally we'd stick to like a logo, but you look at like greatest hits on like, you know, dude, I'll grab it right here. I literally have a copy because I love this album. I've got a copy right here.
Nice.
I have a bunch in my room. You see what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. It's eclectic.
Right. And so the whole idea behind it, I even wanted to put it on double disc, but then it was a whole supply thing, blah, 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 blah. But the idea is that it was so many different things. And that's why I wanted it to be like a double disc, because it's like Greatest Hits is GH.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, it kind of, and like, it just ties in so perfectly to the idea of like multiple eras and everything, because, you know, and so for me, it still moves on, you know, well to this, like to the I, because it's, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I love so that.
I always love theories like that. And that actually makes sense. But, yeah, I just did that because Greatest Hits for me and for the concept was supposed to be multiple out. That's also why it was like the longest one we've ever done. You know what I mean? Like this
one. You had a lot to get out.
Yeah.
You had a lot to say.
Dude, there was a lot more too. We had to really try and limit it. It was tough.
I think a lot of our interviews with artists and a lot of like, you know, public released other interviews that artists do, you know, everybody talks about, oh, what do you guys like to do? Oh, what, how did you meet? And all these lighter questions. And I think for us, a lot of times we get a little bit deeper into it. We read past the obvious, you know, alphabetical, this is your concept for the album. And we're like, oh my God, they're making a hit at their industry and saying like, this is like how the industry, you know, works. And I was having this thought that, you know, I'm in the interior design architecture industry. Anthony is in the film industry, and all these industries have this sort of structure, the way that they're set up, the way that your work is going to be sort of distributed or gotten out there. And, you know, there's roadblocks in your way as a musician to be able to get your work out on your own. And you're sort of required to rely on all these other facets because most artists don't want to do all the other facets.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to play music, you're not going to want to sit down and do fucking paperwork.
Right.
And it's kind of an interesting thing. I think when you know, when I ask, I like to ask this question a lot of artists is, you know, when you originally realized, like, I'm good at this, I want to be a musician, what did you think you were going to get versus what you got?
You know, I don't even remember doing this, but I remember, or my mom recently was like, yeah, I mentioned college when you were like 12 or 13 and you were like, no, I'm just going to be in a band. And I was like, and she's like, okay, yeah.
She sounds supportive.
Well, now, I mean, I think most parents would be feeling that kind of way. At least, I mean, you know what I mean? Like when you hear kids say that when they're like in junior high.
No fucking way you're doing that.
Like, okay. They're like, for sure, honey, like do that, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, if you want to do something after, we should, you know, and I'm like, I get it. Like, I'd be nervous if my kid was like, you know, it's not like I wouldn't believe in them. But if, you know, if we're talking about college and they were talking about having a plan that was like very, it's a scary industry. You know what I mean?
It's like
very come and go. Like it's wishy-washy, like people, like fans come and go, like it could all be done any second, blah, 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 blah.
But did you know that when you were 12 and you wanted to be in a band?
No, that's the thing. I was just like, well, that's what there wasn't like a defining moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, I started playing guitar and I was like, oh, well, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting. Like, I don't think that anybody thinks about, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are just in it to get rich. Like they're making art for the algorithm. They're making art because of the trends. But I was walking my dogs last night and I walked by this house where like the garage was open and just like these two kids were just jamming, yeah. Like one of them on the drums, one of them on the guitar, and they weren't very good. I'm just going to say that we're like, right. Like they were very much at the beginning of their, like, you don't have to be good like that. Right.
Yeah.
You're just trying it out. You're doing it because it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, if you're really good right away, I don't trust you. And also, fuck you.
Everything worthwhile, you have to practice that.
Yeah, like, okay, so, dude, I played in so many local bands. I played, like, dude, I have to have played, like, over 1,000 local shows just with, like, random bands and friends and shit. And Jeff, our guitarist, this was his first band. So Otto and I are like, dude, fuck you. You don't have any of the embarrassing, like, growing pains or shit, like, you were trying to figure out when you were, like, 14 or 15, like, trying to, like, write your first songs. He just got to walk right in and be like, yeah, Waterboard's my first band. Like,
that's funny.
Just stumbled right into it.
What is something that, you know, once you became an adult and you started doing it as, you know, a professional adult, what is something that was unexpected that you really like doing versus something that you really realized you don't like?
I mean, I like doing everything until there are bumps in the road because of other people not being as smart or working as diligently as they should. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, you start dealing with promoters mm-hmm. and you're like, I hate these people. but then I was like, okay, after like years of, you know, hey, sell 100 tickets to your classmates. And then you're like, what? Like, and you know, you'll get to keep $5. I'm like, okay, pause. It kind of like made me get better at everything. Cause then when Waterpark started, I started booking all our shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you don't actually need a promoter. You just rent the venue. And I started doing all the math. And I was like, actually, you know what I mean? So it's
right.
Like all of those annoying things kind of lead to you bettering what you do.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, you know, when the music industry first sort of started, it was like, you know, you had to have somebody that was printing the music and distributing the music. And that's sort of what the initial, like, you know, person writing music didn't need that to write the music, but it was necessary to get the music out to the people, even though, you know, as a musician, you could, you know, own your own printing press and, you know, print your own music and distribute it. And now that we're in this digital age and there are, you know, big companies that own the platforms that are now playing your music and distributing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of wild that like you guys are kind of kept in this sort of slot of this machine.
Yeah. And then they own your intellectual property.
Hey!
Bringing it back. I kind of, yeah. There's one thing I want to get back to the music because I really like this album and I want to talk about it. One thing that I read in an interview is that you said that Greatest Hits was very much an introverted album and Intellectual Property is the exact opposite of that. Can you speak a little to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, Greatest Hits, it's hard for me to not feel that way because, I mean, you know, it was made mostly over 2020. And
oh, what happened during 2020? I'm kidding. Don't answer that. No, I just
wanted to stay home. It was my I canceled 4 tours and just stayed home.
You just decided you weren't feeling public life.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, sometimes I don't feel social. I don't want to go outside and I don't want to smile at people. You know what I mean? I just want to stay on my couch and like suck the cushions.
Oh my god, my dog does that.
So
gross. No, but
I was obviously, like everybody else, just very shut in and I was just so like consumed by the process. It was just like, I was alone sitting at this same desk right here and made 108 songs for this album.
Jesus.
For Greatest Hits. And like, it was just like, it was isolating, but it felt so like, I don't know. It felt like very lonely. You know what I mean? That's actually for the first time I started like reaching out to friends and stuff. Luckily, my friends are also pretty good at music. And I'd be like, hey, like this vocal thing you do, I think it'd be amazing all over this song, you know? And it kind of like opened me up to like collaborating more with people, and which is ultimately a good thing. But Greatest Hits just felt so dark. You know what I mean? It was made in the dark. And it's very just like about me. It's very introspective. Like
So how did you get from that to Brainwashed, where you're like, I'm out in the sunshine?
I mean, necessity, you know what I mean? You can only like be alone, isolated, like in the dark for so long. And like, so it kind of caused Intellectual Property as, you know, as it's like a kind of like rebirth into the world. Like everybody's kind of like regathering their social skills and kind of like going back into life more. It's not just about me. It's also about other people. It's about like experiences with other people a lot more.
Humaning with humans again.
Yeah. And so in that way, to me, it's just a huge juxtaposition of being like, okay, this is all being made at night alone in a little cave. And also I can't go anywhere and I can't see anybody and da da da. This one's so about other people and about that. It's like very encompassing of like that, like rebirth of your person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How does your, I know that you grew up in church and, you know, having the sort of rules placed on you and these restrictions on your life, how did that sort of play into this album? Because I know that you wanted to kind of break away from that as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, stuff like 2020 also kind of, I was already in therapy, but it forces you, or it forced me and probably a lot of other people it gave you a lot more time to examine yourself. You know what I mean? Everything was very fast for us starting in 2016, where it was just constant tours. You're never alone. You're always like a foot away from somebody, whether you're sleeping or playing or anything. And that really gave like adequate time to like, it like forced you to like look at yourself and be like, why do I feel this way about this? You kind of like, it gave me time to like learn about myself. And, you know, there were certain weeks during 2020 where I'd go to therapy like multiple times, you know, like a handful of times. And cause I was just like, you know, struggling. And I've had come to find that a lot of the things that like a lot of the roots were like religion based, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And while learning all that, it's kind of like, it's not just singing about the feelings anymore. It's like identifying where they came from and trying to sort of grow past it. It's like in the movies where like in the scary movies when they like learn the demon's name so they can exorcise it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what it's like. You know what I mean? Like you find the source and then that's how you kind of confront that.
Yeah. It's like once you have a diagnosis or once you have a name for something, you can then figure out like, oh, what are known solutions to this problem?
Yeah. And it's not just like, why do I feel like shit all the time? And it's so like, you know,
like there's a reason for it. There's a reason that we have these behaviors that we learned as youth growing up and even as adults. Kind of crazy.
Right.
And speaking of mental health challenges, this is something I've been thinking about listening to your music. One thing you do really well is capturing this spiral of automatic thoughts that happen when you experience anxiety. And it's not just the feeling, but the course of how the thoughts flow. Like, I listen to your songs and it's palpable. It's there on self-sabotage and brainwashed, but you've also been doing it for years. And I'm thinking specifically of "I Miss Having Sex, But At Least I Don't Want to Die Anymore," it can basically be retitled "I'm on Antidepressants Now."
Yep.
Is capturing the reality of anxiety this way at all helpful for you in dealing with working through your own?
It can be. It's not always. Sometimes, like, the thing is, a lot of times songwriting can be therapeutic, and a lot of people say that it is. And sometimes it's like, it's not even set with the goal of, or like in hopes of, or like with the expectation that it'll help alleviate it or stop it. Sometimes I'm just like, holy shit, this is what's going on right now.
Right. One thing I noticed, I was writing the other day, like I was going through like some really, really intense emotions. And sometimes when that happens, I just need to write. I need to write and not worry about where it's going. And I noticed that it didn't really help, but it moved the grief around. I felt it moving in my body, and like it kept finding more things, which it's kind of incredible how like taking something out of your head will do that.
It's almost like in Spirited Away, where there's this demon that comes into the bathhouse and he's just this gross looking sludge monster. And she realizes that he's got something caught. And as soon as she pulls that one thing out, the rest of the people in this bathhouse have to help pull this like string of stuff. And it's just all this junk and mud that just like pours out of this creature. And then he's free. And it's kind of like, you know, pulling one of those magic scarves out when you've got a lifelong trauma yarn ball. You know, you start pulling on one end of it and it's bound to just keep going.
Yeah,
sometimes
you find more stuff. There's so much stuff in there.
Right. It's. You're surprised at how much can fit inside you.
Yeah. I'm sometimes surprised by that myself.
Well,
we're kind of coming up to the end of the interview portion, but there's a couple more questions I want to ask, specifically because we've been talking about how this album is read. And I read that you have synesthesia. Can you describe what that is for listeners who might not have heard about it before?
Yeah. I mean, forever, like whenever I've heard songs, I've just had a very strong sense of like, oh, this is the color I see with it. You know what I mean? Like songs have certain vibes or moods or whatever, and different things can like trigger. I don't fully understand the science. I actually didn't even know it was a thing until, like I said, we started doing tours and everything in 2016. And when I was trying to describe it, 'cause, you know, a lot of our song titles have like had colors in it and stuff like that. And like our albums have had, you know, they're very like color focused. And some, like one of the interviewers was like, "Do you think you have synesthesia?" And I was like, "What is that?"
When you find new things.
I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "That's exactly what this shit is." And you know, it was really crazy because I remember being like, you know, like first getting into music, like bands and stuff. And I'd be, you know, 13 or whatever. And I'd just like walk to Target with a friend. We'd be walking around and we'd be like, "This song kind of feels like that." He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, and we'd be going over it and be like, "Yeah, that makes sense. I guess, yeah, for sure."
Is it like the full song that does it, or is it like specific tones also have a color aura to them for you?
I guess it's kind of both. You know, like I feel like there's not necessarily like I haven't identified like this is the reason this is blue, or this is the reason this has like a glow. You know what I mean? Like, but
it's just like an automatic brain response to the sounds. You mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's very sense.
It's very odd. Like, I guess, see, the thing, it's sometimes I don't want to learn more about certain things because I don't want it to lose its magic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're not trying to dig at the reasons behind it.
No. I'm just saying, like, I haven't done like heavy research because I don't want to start like if I learn a bunch and I'm like, oh, this is the reason I think this, and then start like expecting that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I sort of want to just like
you
want to
keep
it
as a magic power and not give it. Exactly. You don't want to open the curtain behind.
I think.
Right. I, yeah.
I think that's such a great way of looking at it, because throughout my whole life, I think I've like felt this need to be able to explain anything, but it kind of does rip it of like kind of this ethereal feeling surrounding it. Like it's what do they say, that magic is just science that hasn't been discovered yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's, I think why I get irritated when people ask me what narcolepsy is and if I try to fall asleep all the time. It's like, if I have to continue explaining what this is, I'm going to lose my magical nap times.
Magical nap time sounds so...
It's your next album.
There it is.
Well, we need to get through a few more letters first before you get to M and N.
Well,
it's true. I'll just drop I'll just do demo albums and just knock it out today.
Great. All about falling asleep.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one more question I want to ask of the group, because I like to do this at the end of every interview. Yeah. But we talked just very briefly about synesthesia. And this isn't necessarily what synesthesia is, but I want to play around with color. You could describe your taste in music as a color, what would it be and why?
Whoa. Diamond, because it's multidimensional.
Love it.
Like a prism?
Yes.
Rainbow.
Speaking of, dude, I got this prism the other day. It's crazy. Like, check this out. Hold up. You know, I'll just put it right here. So you see how there's like the one color?
Oh, so it's like a turquoise, and then you... Oh, my God. It's a different color on each side of this cube,
well,
y'all.
That's fun. Yeah.
Because like with the way the colors interact with each other.
Right.
They blend. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I love having to describe this for listeners. But like as you turn the cube, you're looking at the color and you're looking at how the light subtracts from all the other sides. So you get like multiple colors at once.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I keep stuff like that on my desk for inspo.
Mm. What about you, Kaylin?
I would say mine's probably a mixture between like a... like acid yellow, almost like, you know, glowing kind of, what's that? Waste.
Toxic waste
color, you know, like that glowing green. Yep. And like a sort of dark blue.
And why is that?
It's a good combo.
I think because some of the music that I listen to is very bright and happy sounding, but I am your podcast sad girl at the end of the day.
And let's see. For me, I think that mine is kind of like a straddles the line between like a neon pink and purple. Something like that you imagine like kind of a dystopian version of driving down Sunset Boulevard at midnight.
Just imagine the sound color that you get from a saxophone solo. That's
red.
That's
that
Anthony.
That is red, though. I don't know.
I get a little bit of like a gold, not gold, but like a sort of like mustardy, like goldenrod color from it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I choose that color because I feel like my taste in music kind of is like nostalgic for things that never really happened. And so like if you picture this like scene, it's not a Sunset Boulevard that exists or has ever existed, but that's where I live with my music.
That's awesome. I like that.
Love it.
And you know, this has been a really fun interview, but I think it's time to wrap things up a little bit. And I want to close the pod with the thing that we like to do at the end of every show, which is play a round of hashtag mood. Who would like to play some hashtag mood?
Me.
Me.
Thank you, Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. That theme song never gets old. What is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we are going to do now is go over to the Tunes and Tumblr's Instagram inbox where people have left us their moods. These are things that they're going through, things that are on their mind, just wacky things that they want us to tackle. We are going to take a couple of those and build a playlist based on it. And because there's only three of us today, each of us gets to choose two songs. I have one picked out. We put out a call to your fans, Austin, to get some moods. And I picked out one that I really liked because it's simple. It's very simple. It's from @freaktrash on Instagram. And it is "Give Me Some Fragile Music."
Ooh.
Fragile music. Okay, ooh, hold up.
I'll go first then. I'm going to go by Dismemberment Bureau by M83.
Oh, Dismemberment.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, yeah. It's about sort of taking, you know, life, and it's sort of an illusion.
Okay.
And that's kind of what teaches us about our humanity.
Oh my gosh. Fragile music. I got two. The first one is Someone New by Hozier, because that man makes me melt every time I listen to his music. And I really like his new direction, but I'm just going back to the classics right now. And then Runaway to Mars by Talk, because that song is utterly destructive to any sense of strength that I have. Yeah. Very fragile, likely to break.
I have
those two
one
songs.
More.
Which one, Kaylin?
Dancing on Glass by Saint Lucia.
Ah, love, 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 love. That's an old one.
It's 2015 not that old,
was,
Anthony.
2015 was 8 years ago.
I saw that song. I saw them perform it live when it had just come out. Time flies.
2015 being 8 years ago? That's messed up.
That is right? Really messed up. There's this reel I saw on Instagram where, like, it's a New Year's Eve party,
oh,
and they're counting down to 2020, and they get to one, and all of a sudden, like, there's a pop, and it's 2022.
And everyone's in jammies.
Yeah, everyone is, like, just scared and like...
And crying.
Yeah, and crying.
And then it clicks one more time to 2023, and the guy in the background, he's just, like, wailing
now. He's just screaming. Such a good one.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Austin, what do you have for this playlist?
Okay. I got Deep in the Jungle by Joe Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And I think there's this show I've been watching called The Other Two. And there's like it's about these two siblings, and their little brothers like just became like a famous pop star. It's like very like Justin Bieber-y, like whatever. But I want to put Marry You at Recess on it.
Aww,
on the list.
That's adorable.
It's a great song.
Speaking of fragility, I recently watched on Netflix, they came out with a Gudetama animated cartoon. And Gudetama is a part of the Sanrio, like, Hello Kitty family. And it's just an egg. It's a raw egg. And it's a very lazy raw egg. And it's about this journey that this raw egg goes through from being shipped from the farm where it was, you know, originally birthed as an egg to a Chinese food restaurant, where this egg and this chick that made it there by accident, you know, popped out of the egg in the restaurant, and they're trying to get back to their farm where their mother is. And it's kind of like you're watching this egg and this chick, and the chick takes like a bottom part of an egg and turns it into a little stroller and is like rolling him around. And it's like the whole time you're just like, oh my God, don't break.
Damn.
It's kind of crazy.
I like this playlist. This is a good one. But would you like to do one more?
One more.
I was just looking through the inbox because we have so many responses that we haven't done. And I'm like, what should we do? What should we do that we haven't done yet? There's one that from at Tia Kai, but there's like an underscore after every letter. And they said, I'm being annoyed by a coworker, and then eye roll emoji. What's a playlist for being annoyed by a coworker?
Toby Keith.
Yeah. Is it just to annoy them back?
No, this song is incredible.
Which one?
As Good As I Once Was.
Oh, wait. That is really good.
I ain't good as I once was. That's just a cold, hard truth. Great ad lib.
I love that. I'm going to go with Baby Shark by Pink Fong.
Baby Shark.
You're welcome, everyone.
What about Fuck You by Lily Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you very much.
Fuck. You.
I need to pick another one. I need another one. What is...
Okay, do... if you need something angry, I love Sworn In. You could do Hypocrisy by Sworn In. Throw that one on there.
Yeah. And just a reminder, everybody, any song or album that gets mentioned on our pod ends up on this fun playlist.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, Anthony's been forgetting his lines a lot lately.
Oh, and Brainwashed by Water Parks. Boom.
Yeah.
Which one?
Brainwashed.
I got a song that's on the tip of my tongue. I just need a second to find it.
I'm going to say Annoying by Maud Sun.
That's another good one. Let me think. What is this song? Oh, God. It's not going to come to me. It's like too far.
Too far on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, it's too far back there. You know when it's like really close to being there.
Voice memo after when you find it.
Yeah, do a voice memo afterwards when you find it.
Yeah, I will put it at the end of this episode and be like, guys, I found it.
By the way.
Let's see. Maybe Goodbye and Good Riddance by Juice WRLD while I'm waiting to find that other song.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Love Juice WRLD. Rest in peace, brother. But these are both good playlists, and I forgot to mention this earlier in the show, but if you want to listen to other things that we've had on repeat, you got to check out our YBLT playlist. YBLT, it's an acronym. It stands for What Have You Been Listening To? But we love BLTs, so the album art is a sandwich. It doesn't matter what kind of sandwich. There's a lot of different sandwiches. We'd like to throw them on there. And it is an amalgam of things that I like, things that Kaylin likes, things that Eric likes, Lily likes, and then whatever like doom metal that Drew has been listening to along with King Gizzard, because those are always his picks.
Well, and King Giz is constantly coming out with new stuff.
Oh, yeah. How many albums this year? I'm going to guess 7.
I'm going to guess more. I feel like they're going to try to outdo themselves each year.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. They're like, I think they are, this is a hot take, they are our generation's Grateful Dead, because all the sets are completely different. Their discography is so big, you couldn't possibly listen to all the music, and people follow them from like town to town.
I feel like it's more the Beatles at that point.
Mm. Are you saying that King Gizzard is this generation's Beatles?
Yes.
No, that's Walter Parks. You can quote me.
Oh, okay.
Quote me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're gonna
add that on your wiki page.
Yep.
Do it. I wanna get all the old people mad. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, boomer. But you know what? It's getting to be that time. It's time we closed up the bar. It's been open for an hour, meaning it's time to close again. But before we go, Austin, is there anything that you would like to plug? What should fans know about what's coming up for Water Parks?
And when are you going to be playing in LA?
Ooh, good point. Okay, we're playing all over the place. Most of it's sold out. We're doing Anaheim and then 2 Los Angeles shows. Anaheim and LA night one are sold out. So night 2, come through. Actually, y'all should come through too. That'd be sick.
We will. It's already on the calendar.
We'll talk to Natalie.
Tell Natalie. Yeah.
Natalie.
Stream intellectual property. Unless this comes out right before, then get ready to stream intellectual property.
Pre-save.
It comes out Friday, 2 days from now.
Pre-save. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah.
Here we go. One more time. Pre-save intellectual property, or you can pretend it's 2002 and go buy the CD, which looks beautiful, by the way.
Nice.
I designed it. Let's party. You pick up a vinyl, a cassette, whatever.
Ooh, we need to get a vinyl. Are you doing the vinyl in your red? Is it going to be like a red?
Yeah. We've got red, we've got blue, we've got green, we've got like just regular clear. Actually, all those are transparent too. We got a bunch of variations, honestly.
Love it. We'll need that for our beautiful record collection that we have.
Yeah.
But y'all are on tour across North America, right?
Yes.
And that's in spring, the rest of spring?
It starts April 28th and it ends June 14th.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Get out there, y'all. Start your summer off right.
Let's go.
Once again, Austin, thank you for being here. I'm glad we could finally make this work. And right before the album comes out too, like it couldn't have been more serendipitous.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform and please rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. It helps us out so much. And if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can support the pod directly. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau and researched by Lily Eason. Our theme song is by New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time,
cheers!
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.